The Coalition's fast-track consenting legislation has fast attracted a wave of criticism. The bill gives a handful of ministers sweeping powers to greenlight big projects like mines, roads and wind farms. Critics have raised concerns about how the environment might fare under such arrangements, something that's even got the attention of a government on the other side of the world. Kia ora, ko Anika Smith aho. Anei te pūrongo tō rangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. We start this week's episode talking to Farah Hancock.
I'm a data journalist and long-form journalist for the in-depth team at RNZ.
She knows the fast-track approvals bill inside out, having filed a slew of stories on it.
I did a lot of work on political donations last year and looked into, one of the topics that comes up is whether there's room for corruption in our donation system. So when I saw the fast track idea come up in the coalition agreement between New Zealand First and National, it sort of jumped out because it allows ministers to refer projects for fast tracking. And then when the bill was read in Parliament and I read the actual bill itself, I was quite taken aback and thought this is definitely needs a really close look at.
What is the Fast Track Approvals Bill for the novice?
It's been sold as a one-stop shop. So the idea is they want it to speed up the consenting and approvals process for really, really big projects. So we're talking about regionally or nationally, important infrastructure or development projects. And what it does is it sits over a whole bunch of other sort of legislation, other acts, and you could get approval for all of those things under all of those acts in this one place. So it sits under the RMA, the Conservation Act, Wildlife Act, Reserves Act, Minerals Act, Fisheries Act, Public Works Act, about 10 in total. And the idea is it's a much faster process to go and just go through the process once and get everything approved. So that's it in a nutshell.
There's been a lot of talk about red tape, how long it takes to get anything done. I mean, this bill at first blush looks like a potentially good thing in terms of speeding up progress on much wanted or needed projects.
Absolutely. There's no denying that things can take a long time to get approved. Now, I talked to the Wind Energy Association and they told me that it can take 9 to 10 years to get something consented, a wind farm consented, and only 2 years to build it. The mining industry, again, says it takes over a year or longer to get stuff consented. So, and we've had the Resource Management Act and everyone's been clear that the Resource Management Act is broken and does need to be reformed. So there's definitely a need for something.
We've had a fast-track legislation before, temporarily introduced in 2020 to stimulate the economy at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. It allowed certain projects to progress more quickly through the Resource Management Act, with an expert panel making the final call. Under the Coalition's proposed fast-track laws, that final call would be up to three ministers. Minister for the Resource Management Act, National's Chris Bishop.
We don't have to become a country which has a can't-do attitude.
Transport Minister, National's Simeon Brown.
That is why we're progressing the fast-track legislation, so we can actually make it quicker and easier to build the infrastructure that New Zealand needs.
And Regional Development Minister, New Zealand First's Shane Jones.
Gone are the days of the multicoloured skink, the kiwi, many other species that have been weaponised to deny regional New Zealand communities their right to a livelihood.
Projects can be eligible for fast-tracking either through ministers referring them to an expert panel or the projects being listed in the legislation. The expert panel reviews them before returning the proposals and any recommendations back to ministers. Mr. Bishop, Mr. Brown and Mr. Jones can approve or decline the projects or refer them back to the expert panel if they think the recommendations are too onerous. There has been a backlash, Farah Hancock explains.
First of all, environmental NGOs are saying it's the war on nature gone nuclear. And it's to be fair, it's gone down like a bucket of cold sick with the environmental NGOs. They're aghast at what could happen. They say we're not just speeding up things, we're sidestepping processes and getting rid of existing rules. It's allowing things that are prohibited under the RMA to happen, and it can steamroll over court decisions. So projects which have been rejected by the courts could be up for approval under the fast track process. And the other thing that it does is it silences their voices. They're not allowed to have input into individual projects. Now, the other sort of opposition we've had is actually from the government watchdogs. So we've got the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Simon Upton. He found that ability for ministers to have final say is problematic. He also said, look, it's allowing not just sort of publicly important infrastructure projects to go ahead, but development, and maybe it should be pegged back to only projects which give the public benefit rather than things which would benefit a private entity. And he also wants to not allow things which have been declined already. So some of those projects which the courts have turned down, he doesn't want those to be able to go through. The other government watchdog is the Office of the Auditor General, Sir John Ryan. He said, look, there's nothing in this bill that looks at conflicts of interest and how to manage them. So he would like to see that sorted out. Now, that could be where an applicant has donated money to a party or candidate and then they apply for fast-tracking and go through. And you've even got, and it's not really a government-based watchdog, but things like the Taxpayers Union, they have even said things that this bill allows ministers to pick winners and allows cronyism to prosper.
Wellington iwi Ngāti Toa led a hīkoi to Parliament this month to protest the fast-track bill. The forecourt was heaving with people, as Chief Executive Helmut Modlik told Chris Bishop and Tama Pōtaka his community lives with the pollution of previous fast-track work.
Ministers, if you want to see what fast-track development does, come to Porirua and see what mess it makes. We too are frustrated things take so long. We're frustrated they cost so much. We too want things to be quicker, more affordable. But we also want our tae ao to be clean, our water to be clean. We want our kaumana back. I want to swim in Te Awarua Porirua before they put me in a hole.
I catch up with Mr. Modlik at Porirua Harbour on a pristine morning earlier this week. It's a perfectly still day, so nice some have brought their morning cuppas down to the water's edge.
So when I'm little, this is still clean enough to swim in and eat out of, although it was getting marginal at that point. This is in the 60s. And then, of course, in the decades since, it's just been degraded. And now, like now at low tide, you can just about walk across it. It's the sedimentation from the hills has just come in, and then the pollution, it's just hideous. But even even now, you still get a sense of not only its beauty, but what it once was. And for Ngāti Toa, we are determined for it to not be beautiful to look at, but for it to actually be everything it can be to not just Ngāti Toa, but to our community. I mean, imagine if this was, again, at a depth and a clarity and a cleanness where, you know, all the kids and everyone could come down here, swim, eat, play, waka ama, the whole thing. You know, people, rich people go all over the world to live in places that look like this, right? And this is our home. And it was degraded quickly just because people weren't thinking.
There are already large-scale residential developments in and around Porirua, one of which is Ngāti Toa's. Mr. Modlik says the idea they would be fast-tracked without environmental safeguards is unacceptable, and it shouldn't be up to three people.
The idea that, you know, lay men and women who are hired and fired every 3 years, prospectively, will have the power to overrule the considered conclusions and recommendations of a panel of experts as it might pertain to environmental harm, that they could overrule that just doesn't make sense. And really begs the question, on what basis could such a overriding decision be made? Logically, if experts have considered the detail, both the developmental objectives and then the environmental risks, and said either no, don't, or these are the recommended constraints to be placed on it, and three laymen or women come in and say and override that, on what logical basis could that overriding decision be made? To my mind, there's only two broad possibilities. One is parochial political or personal self-interest, and both of those are utterly appalling to consider as being, you know, bases for making intergenerational developmental infrastructure decisions. It opens up the prospect of corruption. It opens up the prospect of politicization of our infrastructure. You know, really, what has politics got to do with water? Tell me. You know, and so that's why I feel very strongly that the inclusion of ministerial override is an overreach and dangerous, and I strongly recommend the government to revisit that.
Chris Bishop didn't want to be interviewed for this episode, but both he and Shane Jones have changed their language when it comes to the legislation giving them the final say on projects. Here's Mr. Bishop speaking at the Hikoi earlier this month.
I think the message I heard today is that the collective aspiration of Ngāti Toa Rangatira is actually not different to the government, which is to address our housing crisis, address our infrastructure deficit. They want development. They're frustrated by developments in the past that have underserved the Porirua community, an area that I know well, which has poor quality housing, which has poor quality water infrastructure in particular. We heard the stories around the sewage into the harbour. The government's aspiration is to fix those issues in the same way as Ngāti Toa have that aspiration as well. The question is always with these things about how you do that, and the fast track bill we see is a way to help ameliorate some of the problems of the past. We've got to do that in a way that also protects the environment and doesn't cause more harm than benefits, and that is absolutely the intention of the government, and we're working through a process around improvements to the bill.
Farrar Hancock says it might mean changes for some parts of the legislation, though not all of it is up for debate.
In recent times, Chris Bishop has sort of softened his tone a little bit on making sensible changes through the select committee process, in that, you know, he seems to be a little more open to the question of ministerial decision making. But I did ask him whether the idea of the public being able to input might be changed, and he sort of came back with a no, that's not on the table. And he's made some quite extraordinary statements to that effect too. There was a written parliamentary question the Greens put into him asking where in the process would the public have a say on individual projects, and he came back with the most extraordinary response, where he suggested that the public could apply to do their own project, and that's one way they could get a say. So he's sort of saying the public could do a regionally or nationally important infrastructure project if they want to have a say on projects.
The Environment Committee has received roughly 27,000 submissions on the fast track legislation. There were so many submitters who wanted to be heard in person, the committee had to set up a ballot system to whittle the number down. Ms. Hancock says the outrage is understandable given the proposed processes.
The public are being shut out. So the public have had an opportunity to make submissions to the bill itself, but when it comes down to individual projects, they're not going to be allowed to make any submissions unless it's on their land. You know, they have to be very, like, directly affected to be allowed to be part of this process. And I think the public, when we're talking about things like mining, where you're talking about a resource which doesn't belong to anyone, it might be on conservation land, I mean, that really is in the commons, but you're stopping the public from having a voice, but you've got an applicant, such as a mining company, getting the loudest voice. I can understand that some people could be quite outraged by that and say, no, we all deserve to have a say in this.
It's clear the legislation has got people's attention, and it's not just a domestic issue. It was raised in the House of Commons in the UK earlier this month.
Mr. Speaker, in March, the UK and New Zealand highlighted the importance of our environmental commitments at the first ever Environment Committee under our new free trade agreement.
Is there not a danger that the fast track approvals will erode these protections, and what steps will the government take to ensure that New Zealand absolutely upholds its commitment under the FTA?
We will continue to monitor the passage of this proposed legislation. But look, the UK and New Zealand are incredibly like-minded in these areas, on climate, the environment, on clean growth. And the environment chapter we have is one of the most ambitious in any free trade agreement anywhere in the world. It absolutely breaks new ground for both the UK and New Zealand in supporting our shared climate and environmental goals, clean growth, and the transition to a net zero economy.
There are still unanswered questions about the Fast Track Bill. Its final form is still to be decided. However, if ministers were to give up their powers, they could instead narrow the scope of the panel, limiting its ability to spike projects. The Environment Committee is currently hearing public submissions on the legislation ahead of its second reading. It may recommend changes to the bill, though the government isn't required to adopt them. That's Focus on Politics this week. I'm Annika Smith. Thanks for joining me. Mā te wā.